Dear congregation belonging to Christ, have you said at all during these summer months, what a change? Maybe a loved one came over from another country whom you haven't seen for a while. And you see how the person has grown and looks so different in appearance. And you say, wow, you have changed. Or perhaps you visit someone who did a remodeling job, maybe built a deck or something, and you exclaim, boy, this is sure a nice change. Good job, my friend. I hope you enjoy it for years to come. Or maybe you said just with the weather change, I'm sure glad we're out of the cold and rainy time and in the warm and sunny time, though it's pretty hot right now. But you say, I love this change of weather. Who of us hasn't experienced changes in life circumstances? Maybe at work, or with our summer plans, or in relationships. Also with disappointments, perhaps hard to take, like with health changes, difficult to deal with and digest. Or with farming outlook changes. I talked to a farmer this week down south, who had fields of growing crops looking so good. And then just last week, a hailstorm swept through the area and flattened and spoiled the crop. A quarter he lost. That's 160 acres. And he decided simply to reseed the land, hoping and praying for success next time. You know, in our world and culture today, oh, what changes we are witnessing. Also in politics, we encounter constant changes. And I was thinking, too, of the possible changes in our Alberta Free Reformed churches, with maybe 3 young men called to serve our churches, 2 of whom are yet waiting for their response. What a change it would be should it happen in God's providence that we get 3 new ministers here in Alberta in our churches. As another has said, we live in a world of perpetual change. And we hardly can keep up with it all, can we? And when reflecting on this all, do you agree how good to remember then, whatever changes in life, also in church life, God never changes. How does that one song put it? Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changes not, abide with me. This song reflects, doesn't it, what a good thing to rely on the unchanging God in this ever-changing world and with ourselves changing too day by day. Our text for the service brings this out beautifully and bountifully as well. How the Lord God, the one only true God of heaven and earth, He never changes. We are told the same in Malachi 3 verse 6, where God says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." And this is stated there as a truth most good and gracious. For the next phrase in Malachi 3 verse 6 reads, "Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." In our text now of James 1:17, this same positive note is given about God being unchanging, making clear, beloved, how this is to our benefit in countless ways. We read there, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Well, let's together think about this some more to our profit. Under the Holy Spirit's blessing, we pray. The fact that God is immutable, unchanging, always the same from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, that's such a grand gospel truth to reflect on. Our theme for the sermon then is, the Lord with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Gospel truth, we'll look at this being most gospel truth, most essential, wonderful, earnest, and helpful. Yes, let's consider first how this is gospel truth most essential. Have you ever thought about it before? How the fact that God is absolutely and forever unchanging is something very related to Him being alone, the one true God. If the God of the Bible is not unchanging, but a God who changes just like so much about ourselves and around us in all the world, then He couldn't and wouldn't be God. The fact that God, congregation, is completely and eternally unchanging in all His being and works and will should so help us have confidence in Him alone as the one only true God. Can I help you see this? The Bible says God is totally perfect, infinitely so in all His being and works and ways. Jesus says this about God His Father in Matthew 5:48. And in Psalm 18, verse 30, just for one more example, we read, "As for God, His way is perfect." This is our God from eternity to eternity. And if that is so, it necessarily means He can never, and He need never, and never does He, nor will He, change. As the one only true God, He in His essence cannot change in any way, because He's infinitely perfect in every way. Therefore, the Lord God cannot be subject to any change or mutation whatsoever, because it is impossible for an infinitely perfect supreme God to change for the better or for the worse. Any improvement or deterioration is impossible with God, for it would mean imperfection being found with Him, which is just not possible with God. And you see, this the Bible declares to us in many places. God is perpetually and perfectly always the same. To suggest God changes ever is to discredit God always, not seeing Him as the endlessly infinite perfect God from everlasting to everlasting. Well, this is admittedly beyond us to grasp fully. But you understand how this exalts God as He truly is. And it's both very humbling and very heartening to think about this truth concerning God. You know, it really helps me to believe in the God of the Bible. The fact that He is endlessly unchanging and always the same in His essence and character and in all His works and ways, including in all His counsel and His word and will. Oh, the permanence of His being and character and word and will is the definition and explanation and defense for Him alone being God. It brings out too, doesn't it, the great difference between Himself and all His created universe, including you and me. As already mentioned, we live in a world of endless changes. As one put it, quote, "Creaturehood and mutability, or change, are correlative terms. But God and immutability are correlative terms too." And here you see is where we can find so much comfort and help looking to this God in all our lifetime, in all our needs, and with all our sins and sinfulness, and in all our changing circumstances. The unchanging God of salvation is ever mighty and faithful to help us and always true to all His promises. Here we need to look at our text now in James 1. James earlier in the chapter, as we read, wrote about how Christians go through trials and tribulations and how we need wisdom and strength from God above. He wrote about our frailty and mortality. He wrote about the struggles of sin and temptation which we have daily to deal with, and how God is never the cause of sin. But listen, He's always the Savior from sin. This is the context of what James says now in the verses 16 to 18. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Notice in verse 17b, James directs us to the gracious and good God above as the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, James is highlighting for us here God in mercy and love being so unchanging in all His being and works and ways for sinners like us. And I myself never thought of this before, but when James here refers to God as the Father of lights, that refers here initially to Him being the Creator, the source of the sun and the moon and all the planets and stars of light in the day and night sky. Now, maybe this summer, think of children and young people too, here in church, this summer or other times, you've looked up into the dark night sky. And if you have looked up and you keep looking up, even for a short time, you will know and agree, oh, how changing is the night sky from second to second even. In Alberta, sometimes we get this view of northern lights. What changes? What changes in the atmosphere? And just think only of those falling parts of stars, falling stars or of spatial matter called meteorites that we all probably have seen flashing downwards, disappearing into the darkness. How striking, congregation, that James highlights the unchanging God, Father of lights, over against this background of the night and day sky. To say, especially in this particular context, there is no variation or change with Him, neither shadow of turning, is like a divinely given genius stroke of the pen, emphasizing all the more our God is truly and infinitely immutable and changes never in any way. As another put this, quote, God's created light also reveals Him by contrast. For they are not always in the same place, nor does their light always shine with the same intensity. And the stars and the heavenly planets, we know, are subject to lots of variation in all kinds of ways. But the Creator, as the Father of lights, in all this is so unlike His creation. He never changes. He never changes His position. He never alters either the fact of the intensity of His outshining goodness and light and mercy, not even in the darkest of times. And so He calls all of us to trust Him as our only Savior and Lord in every time. Well, can you too think of other ways the Bible emphasizes this gospel truth about God being forever unchanging? Isn't this what explains Him being referred to as the rock, for example? The rock in Deuteronomy 32:4, where we are told He is the rock. His work is perfect. Likewise, Psalm 18:31, we read the psalmist testify in jubilation. And who is a rock except our God? Yes, congregation, God is the rock of ages. We sing that. And indeed, He's a rock higher than us. We sang it from Psalter 159, based on Psalm 61 earlier. What a comfort and hope and help in the midst of turmoil and all the changes of our lives. From our conception to our last breath, we may look to this God praying and saying, when I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest. That is higher than I. Praise God, the unchanging Lord over all will always be true to His word and will, and all His promises will fulfill. You know, sometimes, I'm sure you all identify the stresses and changes in life. It may seem to us that God has changed. Where are you, God? In this trouble, in this turmoil. But do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The God of the Bible is always the same and changes never. I so appreciated what one commentator profoundly said about this. With all the questions we might have, quote, about our immutable, incomprehensible God, quote, He may will a change, but not change His will. He may will a change, but not change His will. No, His great name, Jehovah, as explained also in Exodus 3, seals the matter too, where God Himself informs us through Moses, He is the great and glorious I am that I am. Do you see with me how even that name reveals He changes never? There was hope and help for Israel with this unchanging Jehovah God coming to their rescue. We must go on, but how important that you and all of us here confess and believe this essential gospel truth about God, that He is forever unchanging in His being and in His decrees and counsel and all His works and ways. Is this now your confession of faith too? Each one present here or listening online. You are not a Christian if you don't hold to this absolute truth about God. If you refuse to believe it, for it is revealed in all Holy Scripture from cover to cover. In Psalm 102, as the elder service read, the psalmist declares, while everything in this created world changes, and in this fallen world is subject to so much change and decay, yet this is the gospel truth about our God. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And you know what, dear congregation? This is really such wonderful gospel truth. Let us notice secondly. Wonderful beyond measure, in fact, as James in our text, in his context, also brings out. For what does he say in verse 17? He mentions how every good and perfect gift is from above. Coming down and means always coming down from the Father of lights. And the two terms, good and perfect, here refer actually to both God's giving of gifts and the gifts He gives. His giving is always gracious and good, and His gifts for us in all our needs are always perfect and complete. He gives as the Father of lights, which here can also rightly be understood and ultimately understood as the God who came to remove all our darkness from our lives and ultimately to lead us in true and everlasting light. James' congregation is telling us here in our text, God in and through Christ Jesus is forever true and reliable as our Savior God. Yes, He's always gracious and generous in our every need and in all our temptations and trials and you name it. We can count on Him being always true to His being and to His word and His promises. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away, says the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 35. And isn't, again, this the meaning of that verse in Malachi 3:6? When after asserting, I am the Lord, I change not, God then declares, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. When they deserve judgment from the Lord, yet God was showing mercy to them. And in this verse, God is saying then, I am the ever-reliable Savior God, never changing in My commitment and provision and promises sinners to save for all who repent and believe in Me and who trust and follow after Me. Yes, this is still the truth, congregation, in the year 2022. The wonderful gospel truth is, because God is unchanging, we can depend on His gospel promises as infinitely sure and forever trustworthy. You may sometimes feel so hopeless and helpless, so undeserving, so desperate, so down. Yet God remains the same. He remains the same. For all who call upon Him, you will find Him ever faithful. Because God is always changing, this you and I may know, what Prophet Jeremiah explained in the time of Lamentations when he wrote that after the destruction of Jerusalem, though through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. What does it say in Hebrews 13, verse 8? Jesus Christ, congregation, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the gospel truth about our unchanging God. And do you see with me how James in our text can't glory in God and His immutability without pointing us to this Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, and directing us to Him and His salvation work for hopeless, helpless, guilty, vile people, as we are always of ourselves. The Father of lights has in the fullness of time, as always already planned way back in eternity and as revealed in time through His word, since the day of Adam and Eve's fall, He has promised to give the Savior who is the light of the world, and with whom is plenteous redemption for all who trust and follow him, regardless of the darkness you may be going through. Even, yes, for all who come to him and call on him for his mercy and help. And here, beloved, meditating more on our text, how good to reflect how amazing that God never changes and always stays with his gospel. You know, with the worldwide flood, in the time of Noah, God almost wiped out all mankind. But he proved unchanging then too. Unchanging in his justice, but still unchanging in his mercy. Sparing, you know, Noah and his family and those 8 people, they survived the flood of divine judgment justly poured out on this wicked and ungodly world. But it was a sign God is unchanging in his plan and commitment to send the Savior and to save his people from their sins. And that God doesn't send another worldwide flood today proves he is yet unchanging to his gospel word. The whole Old Testament really shows God unchanging in his resolve and redemptive plans, in spite even of his covenant people repeatedly living in grossly idolatrous and adulterous and ungodly ways. God is unchanging in his righteousness upon the unbelieving, in his wrath upon them, and in his mercy upon the believing. And think here now with me, with Jesus as God incarnate come to this earth, and behold more with me the wonder of the unchanging character of God in his being and his ways according to his word. Oh, beloved, the greatest proof and evidence of God being forever unchanging is when Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came here in the flesh as promised Messiah, and see him there in Gethsemane in such agony, considering the cup of divine wrath for him to drink. Shall sinners be saved? Shall Jesus serve as substitute and sin bearer for sinners? And Jesus shrunk from it. But was there any change in the mind of God at that point? No, not in the mind of Jesus either. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that for such undeserving sinners like his disciples and like you and me. And not only that, think of it, God didn't change when Judas treacherously betrays Jesus with a kiss in the garden. And his disciples selfishly forsake him one by one. And then when he's wrongly arrested in the garden, and when he's endured several mock trials, most unjust, Not either did God change when the soldiers spit in his son's face repeatedly and hit Jesus in the face and on his head, and when they laughed at him and ridiculed him and scorned him repeatedly and viciously beyond words. But would God not change his mind and way when Pilate most unjustly and cruelly orders that Jesus, God's beloved son, in the flesh, be torturously scourged on his bare back with a whip, with bone chips, with whipping after whipping, ripping open his tender back, most painfully beyond words? No, the Lord is unchanging in his gospel word. And behold, the Savior then also taken to Golgotha, and there nailed to that wooden cross and left hanging there in the place of a skull, crucified between 2 notorious criminals, numbered with the transgressors, indeed as if he were the worst of them all. Oh, see with me Jesus hanging there on that tree and made a curse in the sinner's place and left all alone to suffer the equivalent of hell eternal in body and soul on sinner's behalf. Would God not change his mind? No. We read in Isaiah, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him an offering for sin. What? Will God in heaven and Jesus as God incarnate and God the Holy Spirit, not as the one only holy triune God, change Seeing the infinite agony and shame and pain in body and soul, Jesus there suffered? No, dear congregation. With the Father of lights and the light of the world, there's no variation or shadow of turning. Oh, isn't it wonderful and amazing, beyond words to tell and express the infinite love of God for sinners like us in the planning and giving of His Son to seek and to save sinners like you and me, with Jesus hanging even and suffering the death on the cross. And that when you and I are so undeserving always, still regardless what all Jesus had to suffer and endure, sinners like us to save, God didn't and wouldn't change His mind. But you say, well, did God maybe, however, let up at all on Jesus in His saving work, suffering as He had to endure and requiring the absolute perfect obedience He already demands from us, for any one of us to be saved? Did God maybe say, oh, I'll be a bit soft on you? No, no. Jesus paid the full punishment for sin. Sin not His own, but to the last drop, He paid it all. Even as He fulfilled all righteousness on sinners' behalf. Jesus finished the work given Him to do, and God was most pleased with it as Jesus' resurrection from the dead and His ascension into heaven so dramatically and eternally proves. And now the wonderful gospel truth is for all ages, for all peoples, at all times, to come to this Jesus for full and free salvation. And it will be given to you. We read thus in Romans 10, the Lord is rich unto all that call upon Him. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, says Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, ever since the fall into sin, the fact that we initially and constantly need Jesus to save us from our sins and sinfulness has never changed. And the truth that Jesus alone is mighty and willing to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him remains still the same too. I ask you, dear congregation, young and old, visitors and members, for whom isn't this wonderful good news? And who here doesn't need this good news of the gospel time and time again? And thinking of this all now in terms of God as the Father of lights, being always unchanging to all His being and promises and works and ways, doesn't that make you too so glory in Him, the God of our salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? You know, this one only true God in and through Jesus Christ, He's yet giving bountifully, delightfully to all who call on Him. He gives out of His infinite fullness the priceless gifts of full and free salvation. And He gives strength against all temptation and patient endurance and trust in every trial. And He gives wisdom we need when we don't know how to go on. And He gives the joy of ultimate and eternal victory for all who trust and follow Him. And as James says in verse 18, He's still working. Yes, praise God. With regenerating and renewing power through His gospel, His word of truth. To have spiritually dead and hopeless sinners to be born again. And for His people to be renewed and refreshed again and again by that same gracious, wonderful good news and gospel for us, both initially and repeatedly. Well, are you and I listening to this gospel message and truly here repenting of our sins and sinfulness, each one, and trusting and following this gospel? Are you living in the way of true Christianity and true Christian conversion before God and your neighbor? Shouldn't that be the case for all of us? Does God not want that to be the case for you? Do you think and say? Oh, but where do you find that in the Bible? Rather, the whole Bible declares, which is God's unchanging revealed will for us, that He does not desire the death of the wicked, but that all come to Him and turn from sin and believe on Him and trust and obey Him as only Savior and Lord. And this is His unchanging gospel and promise to all who come to Him. He will by no means cast away any In John 6:37, Jesus states, "All that the Father has given me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." God is unchanging, congregation, in His mercy and in His love. And with Him is such fullness of salvation, for even the worst of sinners and the most repeated of offenders who comes to Him, will you be made whole? Will you be delivered from your sin and misery? Come to this Jesus, just as you are, pleading His mercy, His grace, and the merits of Him, and His once for all sacrifice. And you will find He's unchanging. He's ever most ready and welcoming to save you too, and to give you the gracious and abundant total deliverance for soul and body, for now and forever, as found with Him. As we will sing later, based on Psalm 103, this is the wonderful gospel truth. Changeless is Jehovah's mercy unto those who fear His name, that is, who repent and believe, from eternity abiding to eternity the same. But what if any or more among us continues just hardened and indifferent against the Father of lights and the light of the world sent to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ? Well, in answering to that, we come to our third thought about how this gospel truth is not only most essential and very wonderful, as we've seen so far, but it is most earnest, too, let's realize. It is earnest, congregation, in this sense, that none of us can afford to discount and turn away from this gospel truth. Because God is infinitely unchanging, let no one think he or she can be saved and go to heaven still, after all, apart from faith in Jesus Christ and true conversion to Him. No, Jesus Himself told us, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, through me." You know, all too many people don't believe this, sadly. And they foolishly think and say, even when standing before God one day, if they believe that even, that they can gain acceptance to heaven because, well, after all, they come from a religious family, or they've gone to church a fair bit, or they've been baptized, or done communion, or they've had good deeds to others. But listen, the Bible is so clear. No one shall be saved apart from the perfect, sinless life of Christ put to your account by faith in Him, along with the atoning blood of Christ and His once-for-all sacrifice, washing your sins and sinfulness away through faith in Him. Don't deceive yourself, thinking this isn't so. Everyone needs Jesus and Spirit-work true faith in Him. For without remission of sin through His precious blood, we can't be saved. No, not one. God won't change. He won't change to pity poor you in the last day, when He wouldn't even change in pity for His Son, suffering all He suffered as sin bearer in the sinner's place. You can knock and yell all you want at the heavenly door in the last judgment day, but apart from Christ in your heart and life, here and now, you won't be let in. And in fact, you'll be taken by the angels of God and cast into the bottomless pit of hell, under God's just and everlasting condemnation for all your sins and sinfulness in this life. That old gospel is unchanging still. And if you debate and dispute this all, it means you are denying that God is unchanging in all His word and will. Maybe someone here says, though, "Yes, Pastor, I know I need to take this all most seriously, but I'll do so later. And after a while, and hopefully not even too long from now, but just not now, just not right now." But congregation, how dangerous to wait for a more convenient season. For no one of us knows when our last breath will be, and suddenly you or I can be snatched away from this life and beyond the great day of grace forevermore. How dare anyone live a single moment longer, still unsaved, when the Bible says so clearly and dearly, "Today is a day of salvation. Harden not your heart through the deceitfulness of sin." Oh, ask to be saved today without any further delay. You know, to not be ready to die, even today, still not joined to Christ in true faith and repentance, is to be living on the brink of eternal hell with just one missed heartbeat away. And only one missed breath between you and the eternal abyss. Oh, the words, hear the words of Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. It's an earnest truth, congregation, to be taken most seriously by us all, you and me, that God is forever unchanging. The Lord planned a certain day of time of grace for us all. And what a fool when anyone won't make the most of that time of grace. For none of us knows when He has willed it shall forever be over. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to us through His Word. And saying that brings us yet to our last thought, namely, how helpful too is this gospel truth about the unchanging God, and how helpful that with the Lord there's no variation nor shadow of turning. It's helpful, let me mention just briefly, in three ways at least. That God is forever unchanging. Isn't that helpful for us in calling and guiding us always to stay by and with and under His revealed Word? The gospel message doesn't change over the centuries for the different cultures and peoples of this world. No, for all, there's only one gospel for lost sinners and God's redeemed people, as given us in the unchanging, infallible, inerrant, authoritative Word of God, and has shown us in the unchanging, foundational person and work of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Word made flesh. Let us remind ourselves, beloved, and exhort one another, therefore, always to stay and to stick with the one only true gospel message of the Bible. You know, sometimes people say, with changing times and changing circumstances, we need a changing gospel for ourselves and a changing worship for our churches. But it is not so, beloved. We need the same old gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, who's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us by all means not fall for smooth, false teachings and worldly practices, which are so much the rage also in our day. When people turn from the faith of our fathers and the apostolic teaching as faithfully summarized also in our Reformation confessions, if we will be faithful till the last day, also us as church, concerning the unchanging gospel message of our unchanging triune God, then we will pray and work, won't we, to be ever God-centered and Word-based and Christ-focused and Spirit-filled and directed in all our confession and conduct of life. Is this your conviction and persuasion to looking ahead if Christ tarries? Yes, of course, in every generation, and we surely admit this too, don't we? The preaching and teaching of God's Word must be brought, yes, in a renewed and in a contemporary way. We're not living in the 17th century. But this is not the same congregation as worshiping and living in a self-made and corrupted worldly way. And if God in His grace and loving kindness should give us also as Alberta churches here and as Federation of Churches, three new young men to be ministers of the gospel, which we fervently pray, then our focus needs yet to be to hold on without any compromise to the changeless gospel truths of our unchanging, ever faithful triune God of our salvation. Doesn't our text serve helpfully to be a guide and guard for us in this regard? Let it be helpful too, secondly, to have us minister with hope in our homes and in our churches, in our lost and confused world, the one and only gospel message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again and the all-sufficient Savior. Verse 18 wonderfully stresses how God, the Holy Spirit, works by the word of truth, renewing, saving, sanctifying sinners, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. I say, what an encouragement for gospel ministers, also those just starting, that God is unchanging in this commitment through the foolishness of preaching to save sinners and to build up His people till the last day. Therefore, let us bring ourselves and our children diligently and expectantly under the Word, in our homes, in family worship, and in Christian living, and in our churches as our families grow up. Never are we in a healthy Christian state when neglecting the worship services where God in His sovereign grace is most pleased to minister to us and to our children and in our children by His grace and Spirit. And did we not promise even that we would do our utmost in this regard for His covenant children to raise them in God's ways under His word? Let us also, where and when we can, invite others from the world around us to church. And also to speak a word in season as opportunities are given us. Countless are the true stories. I heard many this summer already of people being saved wonderfully when kindly, gently introduced and brought under the gospel truth of God's holy word. Who knows whom all the unchanging God might yet bring to full and free salvation under the Spirit-blessed, unchanging ministry and penetrating power of His gospel word. No case is hopeless with the Lord God of the Bible, who's still out sinners to seek and to save. Plead with His unchanging God of mercy. Plead His covenant faithfulness and His promises. Also for your loved ones who presently may be so resistant and rebellious yet against the gospel. And let even our especially dark times of late motivate us all the more, congregation, to hold forth the gospel to others and diligently to be missionary-minded and sincerely evangelical towards those around us. And let's pray and work, each one of us, never to live or conduct ourselves in a way that hinders the gospel cause instead of promotes it. And for this all, yes, what reasons to pray even daily. Change and decay and all around I see, but thou who changes not, abide with me. Yes, also thinking of this third way, yet it's so helpful to remember God is ever unchanging, and that is for hearty worship and praise to God. I mean, doesn't this fact alone make the Lord so endlessly praiseworthy, congregation, and to be exalted above all others and all else? Can we not be so assured and reassured of all His gospel promises and riches of His salvation for soul and body, for now and forever, knowing and trusting the one true God, forever unchanging in all His being and blessings for His people? Indeed, for God's people, isn't it the case we may have so much comfort and confidence for the future? Can't we? Knowing God is so gracious, giving and good-doing Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. I say, what reasons to shout for joy and to have hope eternal, even in the midst of the fiercest of storms and trials. For the Lord will not fail in His gospel promises for all who trust and follow Him. He cannot and He will not for His own name's sake, but He's always true to all His word as the great I am that I am, forever unchanging God in all generations. Oh, come, therefore, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Yes, the one true God of our salvation, who changes never. Will you and I, each one this week, so glory in the Lord God by His grace and Spirit, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Will you speak about it at home? With each other, and maybe with others in society, relating the gospel truth about God, this gospel truth being He's unchanging, and how it's most essential, wonderful, earnest, and helpful truth. Even so, may God by His Spirit prosper His word now, and to the unchanging God be all the glory now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God,